listening to another episode of Beckett's Babies, a playwriting podcast. Every week we discuss plays we love, interview theater artists, and share our thoughts on playwriting and theater. We are your hosts, Sarah Cho.
And Sam Collier. And today we're talking about Kate Danley's play, Bureaucracy, which is bureaucracy, but with a Z. And it was a semi-finalist in the O'Neill National Playwriting Conference and a semi-finalist in the Moss Hart and Kitty Carlisle New Play Initiative. It is on the New Play Exchange, and we are so excited to talk about this play. So here's a little synopsis for those of you who haven't read or seen it. Grace and Amy, two outrageous admins stuck in a soul-sucking job, are just slogging their way through the work week. But when their supervisor chokes on a cookie, everything goes awry and begins a domino effect of destruction. So Kate Danley is a USA Today bestselling author and 30-year veteran of stage and screen, and one of the original co-founders of the Seattle Playwright Salon. I haven't read any of her other plays, but I really want to because I love this play so much. Mm-hmm. So let's just jump in and talk about our first impressions.
First impressions, crazy. it's a workplace farce. And I just thought every one of these characters just served really well to the comedy of the world in the play, and like such great roles for women. I want to see these. I was like already casting in my head. I was like, oh, I know who would play this. This is going to be so fun. And the lines, like so much wordplay and so much like wit and humor and just like clashing of just the zaniness of all, you know, the world. I really, really loved it.
Yeah, actually, my first encounter with this play was at the Women's Theater Festival in North Carolina, and I walked into a reading of it a couple minutes after it had started. It was one of those festivals where like there's plays happening all the time in different venues, and you kind of go see what you can. And so I had come from another reading, and I came into this one maybe like 5 minutes after it had started. And I was immediately hooked by the humor, and the actors did a fantastic job. And, you know, as soon as I finished watching the play, which was delightful, I wanted to read it, and I found it on New Play Exchange. So, yeah, my first impression was just, yeah, the humor and roles for women are so great. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I feel like, I mean, I haven't had exactly this kind of job, but I could immediately relate to the experience of these two women who are just basically doing like secretarial work for this really awful boss. Yeah. And like they're really close mm-hmm. friends with each other, but they're also pitted against each other just by the nature of the office. Yep. And so I just love that dynamic between Grace and Amy.
Yeah. It was just like immediately thinking about, just like that, you know, that soul crushing job that the synopsis is talking about. Like I just, like it triggered in me something that I was like, I hated that life, like that office, like corporate life, and like people just sort of like walking all over each other to get to the, you know, top, which is like, what is the top? Oh, to be an asshole.
right.
But it's like, so it was just like, I think what the play captures really well is that relationship, that dynamic between like this, like the boss and the mm-hmm. employee, and just like the expectation of like what, like that expectation that the playwright captures is like, it's comedic. Like, I can't believe like this happens between the relation between the, like the boss and the employee, like
right.
that expectation of like how, like, what is a couple of lines? It was like, I really expected more from you. Kind of like, you should really do some more forward thinking. Like, you know, if you really want to.
Right. Even though she's the boss is the one being impossible. Like, she scheduled all these meetings and then she decides to cancel them. And then she's like, actually, I do want to have my meeting.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that level of like power play, it's just so, it's like real. And then this play really makes it to show us like how comical that is. But yeah, so to really dig into this play, like what popped, what did we notice? What stood out to you? For me, first, other than being like how zany and wild this was, but like that first page, the first page was like such a great way to capture just like what to expect from it. Like it's gonna, the playwright was being fearless and like, this is how crazy it's gonna be. Where the lines, where the two secretaries or like the employees, Grace and Amy, were like competing in like how their morning started off. And it was like, oh, rat humping the coffee cup. No, homeless person humping the Gucci bag. Like, it was just like, I'm like visually like, what is happening? Like, right. I'm like, but this is, they've developed a language between these two that then we're going to get into to their relationship.
Yeah, that's so true. It drops us right into the middle of their dynamic and asks us to just, or expects us to just figure it out rather than wasting any time on introductions. I think the first page immediately shows us that we're in the hands of a really confident writer who trusts us to, get up to speed on our own. Mm-hmm. And it just moves so quickly, which is really fun.
I'm curious when you saw this reading of it, like how fast were they talking? Or like,
it was really fast. It moved really quickly, which made it, it added that element of, I think you said, zaniness. Mm-hmm. And there was this kind of like frantic energy to it. And it just increased the humor so much.
Amazing. Yeah.
Because there's a really fun tension too between, I mean, their job is to like manage their boss's schedule and make sure the cookies are ordered and like, you know, send emails or whatever. But, and they, like, whenever she enters the room, they look like they're working, but they actually spend most of the play like not doing work, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's this tension between like kind of waiting around for her to get out of a meeting and then frantic energy when she enters the room. And I think the absurdity too, like she really captures, Kate Danley really captures the absurdity of being an assistant to somebody who's so high powered because the things that they're doing are so mundane. So like the quote I want to read, this is a couple pages in, and Amy says, they're talking about ordering cookies for this meeting. And Amy says, when I walked across that stage getting my 4-year degree in English literature, I thought to myself, someday I'm going to spend my grown adult life discussing what cookie another grown adult may or may not be interested in eating. It was just like, oh yeah, it's kind of like caring for a toddler. you know, it's like managing the eating schedule of a grown adult is really absurd.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments, I have to say, is just like, you know, they don't have perks. They don't have like benefits or anything, but the thing is like free lunch, like whatever, whenever they can, is like a free food somehow. And I was like, that is so real. Like, that's so real.
Yeah, they get the leftovers. And they're leftovers. So excited about the leftover cookies. Like, that is really real.
Yeah. What did you think about the moment where, like, the first – one of the things I noticed and I'm kind of like – kind of the first, I guess, would say unusual thing was, like, the janitor coming in and then not reacting, not noticing, and kind of just doing his thing and then leaving. And then how that – progressed in the play, like when, spoiler alert, boss dies, and like like picks up the trash, the boss, and like, or the picking up, I think it's a boss. Like, was the boss in the trash? Like, I, but like,
yeah, they put her body in one of those big, right, trash cans.
And he just like takes it away without question, without any reaction to it. Like, and I was like, just, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to respond to this, but I just thought that was so like funny and bizarre in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, especially the contrast between them having these big reactions. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to do? You know, they're worried about going to jail. And like, then he just comes in and takes the body out.
Right. Right. And which, and then the kind of like a third beat of that, his storyline is that he, like at the end comes back with the knife in his hand, like ready to right. kill. Be like, and it has like this monologue of like, I like clean after you all, like clean up, you know, wipe the toilet seats, the piss yeah. you left on. You know, like, it's just like this monologue of like not being seen or heard in a way, and just doing the job, but like, and then his job being sacrificed, and like, then he's out to kill. Like, it's just so, like, it was just funny to follow that, his story, and then how really escalated the two characters, Grace and Amy, and their fiasco. I don't know.
it adds a whole other layer. Mm-hmm. We've been spending so much time in their world, and they don't even, so there's one character, listeners, there's one man who plays like the water delivery guy and the janitor, and I should say one actor, and the AC guy who comes in to fix the AC system. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's something about this kind of series of men who they kind of objectify and like don't really know as individuals. And I think the final scene just adds this whole other layer to what this workplace or what this company does to people. Cause like we've been spending so much time with these two characters and they feel unappreciated and like actually
right.
they're doing the same thing to other people.
Right. Another thing that popped out for me was the smell of death is fish curry. Like,
and it's so silly because like in the world of this play, people start smelling like fish curry like 10 seconds after they die, which is like,
yeah,
oh, not.
But that was just so funny, like the choice of smell for what death isn't. Because I mean, it really took me there. I'm like, oh, like I recognize that smell, or like, because of curry and then the fishiness or whatever. So it's like, this is death. So the fact that she was able to put a scent on death in the play, like it was like a whole other sensory level that I appreciated in a weird way.
Yeah, there's a lot of smell in the play because there's also the character of Molly,
right,
who we learn, I think even before we see her,
yeah,
that she smells really bad. Like, she smells like, what is it, patchouli or something?
Patchouli, sandalwood.
Sandalwood. And yeah, and yeah. So Grace and Amy have this big reaction every time she comes in about how she smells.
Yeah, I really hope we don't go back to The Office. That's one of the things that's like drove me crazy was like tight, like kind of small office spaces, and then like if there's no working AC circulating, you know, you're like, everyone's a scent, yeah. Like food, lunches, and their perfume or like hair shampoo, conditioner, like the scents are everywhere. But yeah,
I don't know, I just feel like at least half the time people are just pretending to work.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just love the smell, like, really captured Molly's personality too. Like, patchouli and sandalwood is a very, like, strong, over, like, powering smell. Mm. Like, And they're very distinct. So it was just funny that, like, you could see that smell. Like, oh, like, this is, she, like, loves to be seen, like, do that thing and, like, you know, try to make Amy and Grace look bad. You know, like, she's just kind of, so I just love that that really captured a way to describe a character through smell.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and then just this office where one by one people are dying. I'm like, man, this office is just the devil. Just the devil.
I also really like, I think we did an episode one time about eating in plays.
Mm.
And I just love these moments where the characters are eating cookies and then, like, the boss comes in, they have to hide that they're eating cookies, so they just shove the whole cookie in their mouth. Yep. And then they're trying to talk. With like, that kind of comedy just cracks me up so much.
That's what's so great about this play, and I'm like, man, this would be so fun to play for female actors, is that it's just, like, there's all this, like, physical element to the play. They could just have real fun with it, you know, like, shoving your cookie in your, like, it's like a little game that for the actors could play, mm-hmm. to, like, and just, like, finding the comedy in that, and really, like, it's, I love when plays could do that, where it's not just constant, like, speaking and, like, word, but, like, now you're really putting these actors in a impossible situation, kind of, like, they're really embracing their physicality.
Wait, can you say more about that? Because you know so much about the different types of comedy. So, like, when you put characters in an impossible situation, mm-hmm. what comedic possibilities does that open up for the writer or for the actors? Like, what makes that funny?
I would say, okay, first of all, like, I think audience, especially when it comes to comedies, like, audience love to be in on it. Like, they love to be like, I'm smarter than these people, or like, I'm like, and so I think when they see the setup of the, you know, Grace and Amy, their only, like, perk is to have these cookies, like, leftover food, right? And they're like, oh, here's our chance, we're gonna eat our cookie, you know? And then and then you create an obstacle immediately with, like, the entrance of the boss. I mean, like, excuse me. Like, and then it's like, I think, like, audience love to, like, see characters who are, like, kind of, what do you call it? Like, a fish out of the water, sort of, like, these two, the peas in a pod characters having to work together. It's two against the world around them, and the world around them, you as a writer, is like, you're creating these obstacles to poke at these characters and, like, make fun of them. And, like, audience, they know by the setup of, like, oh, these two characters are partners in crime, kind of thing, and, like, everyone, they don't like everyone around them, and how can, like, you start to see, like, oh, how all these characters around them start to escalate their relationship and their the consequence of what's happening, like, elevating it, like, and then I feel a lot of people say this, but, you know, especially in the improv, you're like, the game of the scene, like, what is the game? And so you're writing a comedy, when you're writing a comedy, you want to, like, establish those rules, like, what's the game of the scene or the play or the world or whatever, and how do you make it worse for them, like, escalating them, making it worse for them. And then that's kind of beauty of comedy, is, like, you're thinking of that, how do I make them worse for these characters, you know, and, like, and how do I make them deal with it head on?
That's great. Yeah, because at the beginning of the play, like, all I really want is to get the leftover cookies, and then it just, the situation gets so much worse so quickly that then, which opens up, like, new lows for them, but also new highs,
because
then they have this power when they realize they can sign, like, they can forge their boss's signature,
right,
order things from her account. So, like, there's more danger, but there's also more opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, it's so simple, like, wanting cookie and eating a cookie. It's, like, such a simple thing, right? But then it's like a whole other level of figuring out of, like, how do I, like, expand this and like, you know, make it so insane that it's, mm-hmm. like, an element of a surprise that you're creating.
Right.
But, yeah, I, like, it could be the most simplest thing, like, eating a sandwich or, like, going to that. Like, you set up a norm and then, like, what you're trying to figure out is, like, how do I take it to that place that you won't expect? And then keep escalating from there. And then so I feel like that's what this play did.
Well, and one thing she does, I think this is so smart, is that she there's an opportunity for one of the two of them to get promoted. And so, mm-hmm. like, early in the play, we find out that, you know, one of them is going to have this chance, but we don't know, and they don't know who it's going to be yet. And so they're both trying to, like, be on their best behavior and impress the boss and, you know, be the one to volunteer to, you know, hand deliver the document or whatever. And so it raises the stakes when they're caught eating Absolutely. The boss's cookie. That, like,
right.
One of them will not get chosen.
Yeah. And I really love that moment. That was a nice, like, turn for that relationship to mm-hmm. be like, now they were, like, with each other, they're on the same page, and now they're like, oh, they're competitors all of a sudden. And you really to see that and how that plays out. I just love the relationship, kind of, like, it started weaving in and out. They're like moments where they're like, oh, we're enemies, we're competitions, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, we have to work together to figure this, how to get rid of this dead body. Or, like, it's like, yeah. It's just like this weaving of their relationship back and forth. And yeah, I mean, that, I think that was just, like, beauty of it. So I feel like that's such a good example of, like, peas in a pod type.
Yeah, it's like a buddy comedy.
Yeah.
For two women. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, buddy comedy. Yeah. Such a good example. What else? Oh, so I guess the one thing that really stood out to me before we move on to, like, some curiosities and questions, but like, what? Well, maybe this is a question, curiosity. I'm like, what is this workplace? Like, what did they do?
No, like, right, because we never find out, do we?
We know there's, like, a legal department, there's IT, HR, like, kind of all the typical things in, like, an office, corporate office, maybe. But I was like, what do they do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of me wants to know, but part of me loves that it's so ambiguous.
Yeah.
That they're just, like, cogs in this machine, and they don't even really get to see what the point of all their work is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think my biggest curiosity is about the end, because it really does feel like it opens up to a totally new level when the janitor has his monologue at the end, and then the play is over. And I'm just, like, I'm so fascinated by that decision, because we, as you were saying, like, we're on the side of these two characters, and we see things from their point of view, and we feel like I really wanted them to get out of this terrible situation, like, without getting in trouble. And then at the end, when we meet this other character who's like, you don't even know my name. Like, I do all this work for you and you don't even know who I am. And I realized they were inflicting this same thing upon him that was being done to them. I just felt, like, a little bit disappointed that the play ended. Well, first, spoiler, he dies. Like, it's like an accident, but then he dies, and then the play is over, and Amy and Grace get to escape. like unscathed from this moment. Yeah. And it just feels like, I don't know what to make of that. Like, are they just as bad as their boss, or has something about this moment changed them?
Yeah. I mean, I think my interpretation is kind of that, yeah, it's a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. Like, it's there's really there's no way to disrupt it anyway. It's just
because everyone's just looking out for themselves.
Exactly. And then that's the satire of it all.
Right. Right.
And that's, yeah, that's, it's crazy to live that way.
Yeah.
Capitalism.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you said that, because your curiosity, the play, because like on the surface level, like you wouldn't think that, but then kind of walking away, you start to try to understand like what did this world mean in scope of.
Yeah, because if you're still laughing, like you're laughing the whole play, yeah. And then this really serious thing happens, and then it's like, you know, it's one of those moments where you're sitting in a play and laughing, yeah. And then you're like, wait a minute. Am I supposed to be laughing at this? Which I really love that experience when you kind of feel it in the audience of people, yeah. Like stepping outside of themselves and looking at themselves and like looking around like, oh, are other people still laughing? Like, you know, because I think it shows us something about ourselves and our assumptions.
Yeah.
But I wish I could ask her about that moment, because I find it really fascinating. And then my other question, just in general, is why hasn't this play been produced everywhere? Because it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's like such a good play for – I could just see theater departments doing this, like at universities, students. Such a good play for women, actors, and there are 5 really great roles for women. I would love to see a full production of this play so much.
Yeah. I was thinking the character, the water guy, like, even it's a guy, and I was like, even if it's a woman playing a guy, being like, oh, it could just kind of
totally
to like make fun of like why this is funny, like why, kind of creating that self awareness, the play creating that self awareness of like, isn't it crazy we do this?
That's so smart. And now that you say that, like if I were directing this play, I would do that for sure. Cast a woman in that role, because it just feels like a reversal of all those plays about men in offices where there's the one woman who's objectified, yeah. And like they just like every time she walks into the room, like they look at her butt or whatever. You know, it's like
these
women are doing that to the man. And it would be so fun to have a woman in that role just to point out the gender stuff even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Okay, so, you know, this is my favorite question. I know we talked about smells, but what do you think is a smell of this play? And you can't say fish curry and patchouli and sandalwood.
Okay, it totally would be the smell of, like, you know how when you're in an office at the end of the day and that there's that smell of, like, kind of industrial cleaning product and vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that, that kind of carpet. Mm-hmm. That has been just vacuumed.
Mm-hmm.
That smell.
Okay. Yes. I know what that smell is. Yep. I can see that. Yep.
What about you? What do you think it smells like?
Let's see. It was a really hard one. But I was starting to smell, like, halfway through the play, you know, like the Xerox machine has just printed the paper. Like, it's like still warm. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of like smell like that ink.
Like the toner smell. Yeah.
So you get that smell. And then like, oh no, I accidentally spilled my coffee. and all over it. So it's like, it's like, oh no. So it's like this, like,
it's just the smell of stress.
Stress, exactly. Stress is a smell, consists of this, like, just printed paper and coffee, spilled coffee. All right.
Okay, but here's a question for you, Sarah. Given the choice between oatmeal raisin cookie, chocolate chip, macadamia nut and white chocolate, and I don't know, what's another kind of cookie? Just like plain sugar cookie. What would you choose?
Definitely chocolate chip.
Okay, what if there wasn't chocolate chip? Just forget I said that. What would you choose between the other ones?
Okay, first of all, okay, so you gave me what was the choices again? Oatmeal raisin? Did you say that?
And then macadamia nut.
Oatmeal raisin is a fraud. Like, they're trying to be healthy, but they're not. White chocolate macadamia is like, it's just a joke. Like, it's like, it's like, you'll think it's always tricking you. Like, you think it's gonna, you're like,
you think it's gonna be good. Yeah.
Or you're like thinking like, oh, that white chocolate chip, but it's actually a nut. And you're like, oh, dang it. It's like, why do two similar colors in a cookie? And a sugar cookie is like, girl, I'm sorry, but you're just a little too boring. I need like little, like, I need something to pick me up in the afternoon, and a sugar cookie isn't
enough. It's just so sad when like the leftover cookies, like, you're excited to get a leftover cookie and then it's not even an enjoyable experience.
Like, I've been to workplaces where there's all these cookies, nobody touches those cookies except chocolate chip cookie. Like, everyone goes for the chocolate chip cookie.
So true.
But listeners, if you're out there to defend any of these cookies, come at me, because like, I will go for days. Like, why, those cookies are the lesser cookies. But yeah. Excellent. I do like, I'm trying to think of, I just like chocolate. Anything that has chocolate.
Yeah, I think they should just all be chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. That's all they should be.
Yeah, workplaces.
Stop. Don't order the variety.
Variety. No one's going to touch any of those cookies except chocolate chip. Come on.
Right, exactly. If they do, they might die. So.
Yeah. What a joke. All right. Glistens. You want to start first or should I start first?
You go first.
Okay. So recently I've been trying this thing called No Screen Sunday. I saw on Instagram that someone I follow, it's so bad, I'm not remembering her name right now.
Are you going to say you got the idea for No Screen Sunday from a screen?
Yes. Ironically. So Nick and we were thinking, like, I proposed this to him and he said, okay, let's try it after the wedding, because we have to be on screen. Like, we have to wait for emails and stuff. So I said, okay, after the wedding. And we did our first no screen Sunday, like, early July, and the weekend of 4th of July weekend, which was really hard because nothing was open, like, because of like the holidays, we couldn't really go out, so we're like indoors, and it was just really hard to do. But we did puzzles. Was really
nature's hard. Always open?
Yeah, maybe when we plan ahead, I guess we'll do it. We originally were like, okay, 24 hours, right? From like beginning of the day till the end of the day, no screen. But then we were like, this is so hard. Let's like, on our first try, we could be on screens after 8 p.m. And then our second no screen Sunday, we tried to push it to 9 p.m. And it was just like really hard. Like, I was like, I could only read so much. I could only like bake so much. And like, and it was like around, I think it was like 8:45. We're like, okay, let's go on our screens.
What if you did like kind of like the Sabbath idea, where you did from 8 p.m. Saturday to 8 p.m. Sunday?
Oh, I don't know. Because like, we're like, our nights on the weekends is like movie TV time.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, we just watch too much movies and TV shows in general. But,
this idea, though.
Nick was like saying that it really feels like an endurance competition. Like, it's like, how much can you endure this? Like, how long can you endure this? It's like, it really is like mental Dorrance thing. And then and there were a couple times we kind of just like had to look at our phone because like we were at Barnes & Noble and Nick was like, I have to find this title of this book. I'm really trying to remember it. I'm really having a hard time. And like he said, I need your phone, Sarah. And I'm like, we had our phones when we're out.
Couldn't he just go ask the person who works at Barnes & Noble?
But because it was hard for him to describe. Like, I feel like, you know, they don't, it'll be like a guessing
game. I'm just giving him a hard time.
But
it's so difficult. I mean, and then I think about being a kid and like all those weekends where obviously there was no phone or internet. Mm-hmm. And I just would, what did I do for a whole weekend? You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Actually used my imagination, I guess.
Yeah. So it's been a challenge, but just by doing this, picking one day of the week just to be on off screen, I do notice something like my mental health, like mm-hmm. it feels different. It feels different. So I'm going to try our best to keep it up. And so, yeah. And I like Sunday being like a no screen Sunday because, you know, Sundays I just feel like no one's working. Nobody wants to work. And so.
And people won't mind if you take a day to respond to their email.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I felt like Sunday is a pretty good day to do it.
Okay. Well, I'll just try not to text you on Sundays anymore.
Do you turn off the sound?
Like, so, because it would drive me crazy if I was doing no screen and then I would get the sound of a text and not be able to look at it.
Yes. I know. I should turn it off. So far, Sunday, like, no one has texted me. No one texted me. So far, so good.
I'm going to tempt you with a text message next Sunday.
You're so bad. I do keep it on just for – because I'm like, yeah, they could text me and stuff, but if it's a real emergency, right, they'll probably stop texting me and start calling me. And they're I do keep it on for that reason. But yeah, but so far, I mean, I only did this twice, but no texts really.
Wow.
Like that, or like her, that caught my attention. Yeah, that's it. That's my lesson.
Nice. Well, I just started reading a book by Lauren Groff, who I love. She wrote Fates and Furies, and I read that a couple of years ago and loved it. And so I'm reading her book Arcadia now. Which is, it just started, but it's kind of about a kid growing up in a hippie commune, I guess you would call it. But it's from the child's point of view. So that's kind of fun. And I just really like her writing style and I'm enjoying it and wondering if anybody else has read it and what they think.
Cool.
Of that book. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Go check out Bureaucracy. It's on New Play Exchange. You will not regret the hour of your life you spend reading this play.
You will not regret it. It's so funny. It's so good. All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Beckett's Babies. If you enjoyed what you heard or learned a thing or two about playwriting, be sure to like, subscribe, and share the podcast with your friends.
And if you'd like to reach out and share with us your thoughts on playwriting and theater, or maybe be a guest on the show, be sure to visit our website at www.beckettsbabies.com. That's www.beckettsbabies.com, and you can contact us there. Thanks for listening.